This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits, where God takes your passion and uses it to further His kingdom. And no, this isn't Robbie Dillmore, in case you couldn't tell. This is Ann Ault, and I am guest hosting for Robbie Dillmore. I'm sure you all know that Robbie has a show before this show called Christian Car Guy, and I am so blessed to be part of the Christian Car Guy Theater. In the spring of 2015, Robbie knew that I had done voices for Adventures in Odyssey, so we stepped out in faith with just the two of us, basically, and created Christian Car Guy Theater. And we just finished the 45th episode of Christian Car Guy Theater with a wonderfully huge, talented cast of actors. It has been such a journey. You know, don't despise the day of small beginnings. It's amazing when we hear clear and obey God, you know, we step out in faith. We go into divine free fall and are faithful in the little. God can work wonders step by step. He leads us. You know, I wrote a poem called Divine Free Fall, and I have a wonderful guest that is coming up real quick. You're going to just love his story and his book. But before that, I'd also wanted to say I had announced on Facebook, and then last week, Robbie announced that Pat Boone would be here today. I think we had a bit of a problem, and I will find out later, I'm sure, but unfortunately, Pat can't be with us today. But I just thought I'd read Divine Free Fall, which I wrote years ago when I was in the process of doing something that was intimidating me. Anybody know what that's like? And I wrote a poem called Divine Free Fall. I look back at the times you would call me to go and to follow you over the years. You would tell me to go when I didn't know where, and I gingerly plowed through my fears. I was Alice in Wonderland venturing out. I couldn't resist your clear call. But I fought off the doubts as I jumped off the edge and breathlessly plunged into divine free fall. I felt the elation and terror conspire, relentlessly plaguing my mind. I groped for the light, some scripture or hope, flailing for something concrete I could find. I finally landed, but to my delight, Holy Papa had kept me from harm. I remembered once more that in spite of the fall, underneath are His comforting arms. The adventure continues and gets even more challenging, trusting the promises made. But how much would we miss if we say no to Him? We are learning to simply do it afraid. Absolutely. We serve a God of the impossible possibilities. Ruth Graham said, God will take care of the impossible. It's up to us to do the possible. You know, the key, of course, is, you know, getting that clear call, and you have to keep at it through all the ups and downs. That's what I love about Kingdom Pursuits. I get so inspired by people who have followed their passion, their call from God, and they don't give up. So I want to introduce to you my friend, Martin Bennett. Now, I met Martin through a mutual friend on Facebook in 2011, and I was thrilled when I found out that he had been the right-hand man of one of my heroes, Keith Green, Last Days Ministry. But more important, when I heard he had a screenplay for a Japanese film, because I also had a screenplay for a Japanese-American film, and both of our films were based on true stories. And it was such a thrill to talk to a kindred spirit who not only was a strong Christian, but also had a burden for Japan and a passion for his project. Martin let me read his screenplay, and since then, his book, brilliant, and I was honestly and totally enthralled with this true story. The script was stunning, and the subsequent book was just amazing, and I don't exaggerate. In fact, before I officially introduce Martin, I did this before when Martin was on, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to read you what the well-known author, speaker, Ravi Zacharias, said about Martin's book. Wounded Tiger is an amazing, enthralling story of how the once obscure lives of an Oregon farmhand and a young co-ed intersected with a Japanese pilot who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. With cultural insight and deep pathos, Martin Bennett brings to life this powerful, true chronicle of hatred, surrender, and transformation. Wounded Tiger reveals how ordinary lives lived out faithfully to their calling can impact the destiny of a people and a nation. I wholeheartedly recommend Martin's work and know that you will find it equally compelling. So without further ado, welcome Martin Bennett.
Hey, Ann, it's great to be with you again.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. This is great fun. I really, you know, I had really prepared for the other interview and so on, but I thought just in case, and you were so kind, and I know you're, this is your birthday weekend, I think, and you're with your kids and all that, but you have so wonderfully stepped in to do the show today. And I just want you to tell the audience, you know, it's that whole thing of be faithful in the little, he gives you power much. What was the first step that got you going in the direction of the Wounded Tiger?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I want to let you and everyone know that I hope the things I share would be encouraging, because they really do apply to everybody in everyone's life, no matter where you are, whether you're a Christian or don't know the Lord. It really doesn't matter. What I have to share, and I think what you're sharing, has to do with everyone. So where it begins, Anne, is there's a scripture verse in Romans 11, and it says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And God's given special gifts to every man, woman, and child in this whole world, whether you know him or don't know him, whether you like God or hate God. It doesn't make any difference. He's given you gifts, and he's given you a calling. So those gifts prepare you for your calling in the same sense that birds fly, fish swim, and squirrels climb trees. We are going to naturally gravitate to those things God has given us gifts for. So that's where it really all begins, understanding those things and knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Regardless of whether you know what it is, he does. You stay closer to him, then you'll know. So from an early age, I liked to write. I had teachers tell me in high school I would be a famous writer, and I really didn't know what they were talking about. I had no aspirations to write. But as time went on, I was fascinated with true stories. I was always drawn to true stories, no matter what they were.
Yeah.
And eventually I stumbled across the story of Mitsuo Fuchida, the guy who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. I knew nothing about it. And as I started researching it, I thought, oh my goodness, this would make a tremendous film. I had previously already spent a number of years researching, writing a screenplay on the life of a man, John Newton, who all of you probably know is the author of the song Amazing Grace. But the life story behind that song is absolutely astounding. So I spent years researching that and writing out that story. So I knew what I was looking for as story structure was concerned. So when I came across this story of Fuchida, and how his life was, first of all, he was filled with hatred toward the United States. He led the Pearl Harbor attack. And, of course, next year will be the 75th anniversary of the end of the Pacific War. And there's going to be a lot of attention on Japan and how the Pacific War concluded. Uh-huh. But Fuchida was handpicked by Yamamoto, and he led that attack. And he calls it, at the time, is just a day of great joy for him to destroy the Pacific Fleet in Pearl Harbor. But fast forward to the end, without giving away the story, his whole heart, mind, and spirit was changed and turned around, and he ended up becoming friends with America and with Americans, and he loved America. And, you know, to see how that happened and all the crazy things that happened during the story is quite interesting.
Yeah, to say the least. I want to tell the audience, as we have the break now, but I want to tell you that we have Martin on for the rest of the show. The last 6 minutes of the show, I'm going to have my buddy Ellen Kennedy on, who plays characters in the Christian Car Guy Theater. But Martin, I just can't wait for you to tell more and more about Wounded Tiger. Stay tuned for more of Kingdom Pursuits. Pursuits, where God takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And we're talking to Martin Bennett today about his book, Wounded Tiger. And I have to say, when Martin and I first talked, I think I had said to Martin, I had told him about my project, and then he told me about this enormous, marvelous, complex story that he weaved together. It's just seriously indescribable but magnificent. But the thing is, the next day, I told Martin, I said, didn't I, Martin? I said, you know, it's like your film is the Japanese film is like the tiger, and mine is like the tiger cub. And the very next day, I went to my little enchanted village, and there was a sign on the street, and it said, "Have your picture taken with a rare white tiger cub." I could not believe it. And that has been a profound message I felt from God to keep at it. And boy, have you had to keep at it. I have never seen anybody, I have admired you so much. And yet, wouldn't you say that God's delays aren't his denials, and the more you go, the more there are reasons for it? Is that what you're seeing too?
Well, yeah, this is the story really of every life. We have to persevere, but you have to have a reason why. And I want to come back to that verse in Romans 11:28 says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable.
Right.
There's nothing you can do, there's nothing the devil can do or anybody can do that will take away your gifts or take away your calling. And even if you make a wrong choice with marriage or career or anything else, it doesn't matter. Your gifts and calling remain. So for me, Anne, I had to really know, Lord, are you in this project about telling the story of Fuchida? And I've prayed about it, of course, thousands of times. At one point, I fasted and prayed for 40 days, water only. And I was just saying, Lord, if I'm on the wrong track, let me know, because I don't want to spend my life pursuing a false goal or something that's just for ego or money or something like that. I want to know you're in this thing. So I'm convinced. So for people listening, you can't just be depending on yourself. You have to be depending on the Lord. And that gives you confidence to go through the very difficult parts of a trial. So Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was basically, in modern terms, God, I've got a great idea, you're going to love it. And Isaac is the Lord saying, I have a great idea, this is actually going to work. So we have to be clear on that before we get into this track of I'm just going to grind it out and persevere. You better make sure you're in the track that the Lord has given you.
Yeah.
But to answer your you know, how you've set this up, Anne. Yeah, it's been extraordinarily difficult to keep this project on track. Without going into detail, I had a trusted business partner who defrauded me out of virtually everything I had.
Yeah.
And I was ended up living in people's homes. I was slept on my son's couch for a year while I was working on the book project. I've had four different offers of funding for this project, one of whom told me directly, we will raise the full $125 million for the film, but we want to retain full creative control. And as a believer and a filmmaker and producer, I want to tell this story right. I'm not a micromanager or a control freak, but I have to have enough ability to protect the integrity of the story. So that was a deal breaker. So I had to turn down opportunities that were good, but not the best. And it's been just unbelievably difficult. But at the same time, I always had a sense that the Lord is with me, that this is absolutely going to work.
Yeah.
I took the screenplay, novelized it to book form, which is the reverse of how it's usually done.
Right.
And that book has gone on to win Book of the Year Award.
Yes.
It's won a bestseller status and number one bestseller status in four categories on Amazon. It currently has the highest 5-star rating of any novel on Amazon, at least that I can find. I've had dozens of people say best story they've ever read in their life. So for those listening, stick with what the Lord's made clear to you, and it will pay off for the benefit of other people. The second verse that's really been what I've reflected on many, many times is John 17:4, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. it's a very loaded sentence, and I don't want to talk about it too long, but his focus was bringing glory to the Father, yeah. and the way we do that is by completing the work he gives us to do,
right.
not by trying.
Right.
We don't want to stand before God on that last day and says, well, I gave it a try, but I never really did anything.
Yeah.
You say, well, if the Lord has given you an assignment, it's an assignment that can be completed, mm-hmm. and that's what we want to do. So for me, yeah, I want to complete that assignment, and we're getting very close to the right people to get this project into development as a film. But as a book, the book is out there. Had a conversation last week with people who want to do a national campaign with me, and they're going to send me a proposal tomorrow. So you need to just hang in there, put your faith and trust in God,
yeah.
believe that his calling on your life and the gifts he's given to you are there for a purpose. If you give him that opportunity, he will bring it to pass, but you got to stick with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, nothing is wasted, though. I mean, have you noticed? I mean, I even being in touch with you, being part of your prayer team, you know, I'm so aware that one thing does lead to another. And there's because you really threw yourself into learning about producing the way you present things, it's just so profound. It is so, so well done, so professional. I mean, I would say you would outdo most Hollywood producers these days, you know. And, you know, also, you had mentioned that one time that Joshua and Caleb, the fact that it is discouraging when so many slimy films are done and with ease in these times that we're in. And yet here is a film that is, I mean, it's mind-blowing. And you can get the book on Amazon, too, by the way. But, it, you know, here is a film that is so brilliant. And as you said, you and I had discussed, but, I mean, it is a Ben-Hur. It is a Ben-Hur caliber. It is so, and the story itself is so goosebumpy. So, the whole Joshua Caleb thing, just talk about that a little bit.
Well, Joshua and Caleb were a group of 12 people who were sent into the Promised Land to spy it out. And they came back, and 10 of the spies said, yeah, it's a good land. It's a great place to go, but we'll never get there because there's giants in the land. They live in walled cities. It can't be done. And they discouraged everybody. But Caleb and Joshua said, wait a second. The Lord is called us out of Egypt. Look at all the miracles he did to get us here. He's going to give us that land. We need to go get it. But there was such a bad report. The people, they gave up. They gave up hope, and that was really a terrible thing. But Joshua and Caleb, they never gave up hope, and they both entered into the Promised Land. So the kind of the moral to the story is those people who believe they're never going to accomplish anything, they don't. And those people say, I believe God will fulfill his purpose and plan for my life, and I'm going to go for it. Those people see God's hand bring them the success that brings glory to God and honor to his name.
Right. Absolutely.
A funny footnote that I'd never really noticed is the 10 spies were killed by God himself. He killed them all.
Yeah.
Thinking, man, he was really upset with those people. So be careful about discouraging people. We have a commandment from God to encourage one another day after day. That's a command from the Lord. We must encourage people. And discouraging people, that is really a terrible thing to do.
Oh, I know. I mean, people that feel that call. I mean, I know that myself since I got my book, Heart's Desire, True Japanese American Love Story, in 2001. And when I got it and read it overnight, you know, I had put it by my bedside with the 15 other books I'd half read. But I finished that book by the next morning, and I said, this has got to be a Christian full Hallmark Hall of Fame, but it's also got it's a brilliant story, and it's a beautiful story, and it's a true story. And so, I mean, and I have been through it, man. I so empathize with you because, I mean, so many Christian media conferences, you know, where they'd have slasher films, I shouldn't say that, but you know, I mean, there's some of those films that get seen. You know, and there's some that are brilliant and wonderful, but the thing is, it's like you know that this is something profound, and then people do tell you to your face, "Oh, we're going to do that," you know, "we're going to make that happen," and then they don't, you know. Just out of curiosity, what's the title of the film mean? the book and film.
Yeah, Wounded Tiger. Yeah, Wounded Tiger represents a number of things. It, in a general sense, it represents the nation of Japan. So in the 1800s, Japan was closed to the Western world, and in 1860, I think it was Commander Perry came with his black ships, and they were forced to open their trade doors to the Western world. And they wanted, once they realized what was going on in the world and how backwards they were as far as progress and machines and energy and everything, they wanted to catch up. So they rapidly tried to catch up, and they did a great job, the Japanese people did. But they never felt that they were accepted by the Western world, by the major powers. And no matter what they did or how they acted, it's like they were treated like a little league team by the Major League Baseball players, and it was kind of insulting to them. And you'll see this in the book as well. So in a sense, they were a great nation, but they were wounded by the opinions of the world. And again, you'll see this in the book. So Fuchida was born in the year of the tiger, and in a sense, he had potential for greatness, and he wanted to be great, but you know, the wounds of others and his own choices as well really held him back from what his calling was.
Exactly.
We'll finish Wounded Tiger and what it means after the break.
Okay, that's great. And funny enough, Pat Boone is on the other is on my phone, but I wasn't able to to get to him.
Take
so,
it.
Okay, you're so sweet. God bless you, Martin Bennett. And get
Thanks
Wounded
so
Tiger. Get, but hold on, Martin.
Thank you.
I don't know yet if he can talk. We'll have to see. Hold on, buddy. Bye-bye.
Robbie Dilmore here. And, you know, I've developed a real soft spot for MyPillow. And if you've been waiting for the lowest price ever offered on MyPillow, it's arrived. With their patented interlock fill system, American-made, guaranteed not to go flat. And believe me, I've had mine for over 5 years now, and it hasn't. Fully machine washable, 6-day money-back guarantee, and a simple 4-question filling process. Right now, get a 2-pack of MyPillow premiums for only $69.99. That's right, only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. Dial 1-800-942-9613 or use the promo code GETTRUTH at MyPillow.com. You too could have a soft spot for MyPillow at only $34.99 a pillow. $69.98 for two. Call 800-942-9613 or go to MyPillow.com and don't forget, use that promo code GETTRUTH.
God takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And we had a bit of a mix-up today, and I'm not even sure we're going to be able to get Pat back on, but I thought I'd give it the old college try. Don't go away, Martin, just in case. I'm so sorry that we didn't get this, apparently he couldn't understand the numbers and all that good stuff. So anyway, I'm going to introduce Pat, and then possibly, hopefully, Keith, can you try to get him on that? No, you got him. Oh, how exciting. You're getting him. Okay. Welcome to live radio. Anyway, you know, we're so blessed if we can get through to Pat, because I just, my brain was filled last night as I was going through it. He is seriously a legend in his own time, as was his ancestor, Daniel Boone. Yes, sir. And Pat had and is having a brilliant, enduring career. He is amazing. He keeps going like the Energizer Bunny. And I do believe we actually have him on the line, but we do. Yeah, goody gumdrops. But Pat, I have to introduce you real quick. He is an actor, singer, composer, writer, TV personality. The list goes on. Most important, a conservative Christian brother in the Lord. At one time, he was bigger than Elvis, folks. Yep. In fact, in the 50s and 60s, Pat had his own TV show, 57 to 60. They did 115 episodes, and Elvis was the opening act for Pat's show in Cleveland. Pat sold more than 45 million records. He's in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, voted the third most popular star in the USA in 57. He did the most wonderful movies of all genres. Although as a teenager, of course, I was partial to April Love. Amazing thing that I love, he asked his wife, Shirley, if it'd be all right to have his first screen kiss. I just love that. I think that is great, and it shows that in the midst of all that heady, exciting career, Pat maintained his faith in the Lord and still does. And he's still going strong despite the usual earth life ups and downs. Now, I was blessed to go to Israel with Pat and Shirley Boone and their family and friends in 2007, and now Shirley is in heaven. And Pat said, she changed her dress, moved to a different mansion. The Lord's giving Pat the strength that he needs. But before I officially welcome, I have to say this about that trip. I have to share this. Our group was at Caesarea by the Sea in Israel, and I was perched on a rock at the sandy beach and beautiful sea, and Pat walks towards the water singing love letters in the sand on that sandy beach. And it was just great because what hit me was that Pat was singing about love letters in the sand in the land where Jesus walked. Holy goosebumps. And welcome finally, Pat Boone. So glad to hear your voice.
Hello, Ann. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, buddy. I am so excited to have you on.
You had real troubles making connection this morning on the phone's numbers and passwords that are required.
I know.
To call you.
I know.
And so now here we are.
I'm very late.
I hope I haven't thrown too big a monkey wrench into your...
Oh, not at all. Hey, blessed are the flexible, for they shall be stretched, right? Anyway, yeah. I just wondered, how did you find the Lord? But I have to say this, being faithful, we were just talking with Martin and I, we're talking about be faithful in the little, and he gives you power over much. And the amazing thing with you is that your whole amazing career started with a local talent contest, right?
Yeah. In fact, even before that, I was in high school,
uh-huh.
and I was singing all over Nashville. I was the kid out on Lone Oak Road who knew all the pop tunes. And I was not planning to be a pop singer, but I just loved to do it. And I had a piano teacher, Ruth Mowry, uh-huh. who knew all the tunes and could play in any key. So when the word got around that there was this kid who knew all the pop song, you know, 16, 17 years old,
right.
and he would come and sing for your ladies' luncheon or businessmen's group or whatever, or a high school program, and I was known as Blue Moon Boone. Blue Moon, you saw me standing alone. I could sing that anywhere, anytime, with no accompaniment.
I used to do that.
And so, anyway, I became known as that kid who would sing for nothing. And I did it a lot, and I wound up doing a radio show on WSIX on Saturday afternoons featuring teen talent. It was called Youth on Parade.
Yeah.
I did commercials, and I sang, and I introduced the other kids around Nashville who could perform in some way on the radio. So that was the first. But then when I entered a talent contest for the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, and I amazingly won... It sent me to New York with an audition, only an audition, to get on the show.
Oh, how funny.
And I got on the show, and I won 3 weeks in a row, and that I was off and running. I mean, the result of that was a recording contract, and I began to record at age 20. But in the meantime, I had married Shirley Foley.
Yeah.
My high school sweetheart, and moved to Texas, where I was on my way to being a preacher. And preaching in a little country church in Slidell as a student teacher preacher. And they called me back to New York for the finals of the Ted Mack Amateur Hour with other three-time winners. And I was winning that, they told me, the cards and letters that were coming in by the hundreds of thousands. But then I went on Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scout show while I was in New York, and I won that.
And Ted Mack.
But that, no, the Arthur Godfrey show.
Yeah.
It was a professional show,
right.
And while I was waiting to hear if I had won the Ted Mack show, I won the Arthur Godfrey show on a Monday, and that disqualified me from the Ted Mack show, which was amateur. You can't win a professional show on Monday and be declared an amateur winner the following Saturday. So I thought I had blown it all just by being over-eager. But the result of all of that was a national exposure, was the recording contract. The first record was a million seller, Two Hearts, Two Kisses. The next was a million seller, number one, Ain't That a Shame?
Yeah.
And for the next over 200 weeks, 240 weeks, I think it was, I was never off the singles charts. Usually I had one record going up and another going down, and that's when I was competing with Elvis, and I did have one more hit record, a chart record in the 50s than Elvis, even though we were buddies and friends and competitors.
Yeah.
I was just a recording fool, and during that same hectic period, I graduated from Columbia University with four kids. Shirley and I had four kids at 23 when I graduated from college.
Wow.
On the cover of TV Guide in my cap and gown, and you open up the TV Guide, and there's pictures of Shirley, my four little girls. I'd made three movies. This was all happening at once, and here I am still thinking I'm going to be a teacher, preacher, that this whole entertainment thing was not going to last.
Yeah, God had different ideas.
But my desire was to serve him.
Yeah.
And I realized as this went along, hey, this isn't all my doing. God's doing something through me and for me. And so always through my career, I had the distinct belief that he had built me a platform.
Oh, yeah.
From which I could do what I had hoped to do as a teacher-preacher for a little class of kids. But maybe I wrote books that were big bestsellers for teenagers and...
Oh, twixt 12 and 20.
You know, was able to be a spokesman.
Yeah.
The Lord as a pop entertainer.
Yep. And so you were. Hey, we only have a few seconds left in this before the break, and we only have 6 minutes on the other side. I was going to have had that beautiful song that you wrote for Shirley, but what I would love, if you wouldn't mind, and I know she is, as you said, she's moved to a different mansion.
Yeah.
And how much
yeah.
you love her. Mm-hmm. And I know God's giving you strength, but the thing is, I would love to hear the Exodus story, that Exodus
okay.
story. Oh, yes. So can you hold on to the other side?
Most certainly do it. Yes.
Oh, bless you. I mean, you and the cool thing is that it's not only, you know, all the entertainment and the platform, but you have used it so mightily, Pat, with blogging, with being a conservative Christian, with, you tell it like it is, Pat. I mean, you really do some of the stuff.
Well, I do my best. That's why
I love it. So hold on. Stay tuned for the last 6 minutes with Pat Boone, Kingdom Pursuits. Where God takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And I'm talking with the legendary famous Pat Boone and his amazing life. If you want to read, an enormous amount of information about him, go on Wikipedia or anything else on Google. It's just amazing that, as I've said to you, Pat, I guess that you've packed so much into your life. But we only have about 6 minutes, and I want you to tell the Exodus story. We're going to have a little bit of the song at the end of it, if that's okay. I just love the song. I'm thrilled with the story, so you go for it.
Well, I will. And listen, don't believe everything you read on Wikipedia, because I don't put that information there.
Oh, dear.
Sometimes people do, and they don't have it right. But I guess most of it is accurate.
Yeah.
But anyway, I, growing up as a kid, I was a Christian from age 11. And I read Matthew 10:32 that said, if anyone will confess me, Jesus said, before men, I'll confess him before my Father in heaven. If he denies me, I'll have to deny him before my Father and the angels. And an 11-year-old kid can understand that.
Yeah.
And I realized the most important thing in my life would be to confess Jesus with my life and my mouth.
Praise God.
And I did. So in reading the Bible, as my family did through my whole growing up period, and I knew that we were reading about Jews and all about Israel and Jesus himself Jewish, and I had read Leon Uris eventually book Exodus, so that when I heard the Ferranti Teicher, a piano instrument, instrumental version. Bum, 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 bum. I was thrilled. I wanted to sing it, but there weren't any words. And I sat down on a Christmas Eve. Shirley was begging me to help get the presents under the tree so we could go to bed for our four kids in the morning. And I was listening to that record, and I said, honey, please, one more time. I'm just trying to get an idea for some words for this melody.
Yeah.
And I put the needle down, bum, 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 and the words just came. This land is mine. And I knew that that was those four words, the whole story of the Exodus. Bum, 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 bum. The words came. God gave this land to me. And I tell you, I grabbed something. I started to write words so I wouldn't forget on something white. I just picked up something and started writing.
Uh-huh.
And in 20 minutes, it's like I took dictation all the way through the melody, each phrase suggesting words. And I wrote down the words. And when I finished, I turned over what I was writing on, and I was writing on the back of a Christmas card. And so later, years later, after the song, the lyric was accepted by the publisher, by Otto Preminger, the director-producer of the film, Ernest Gove, the composer who wrote the melody. They all loved those words that I wrote. They said, yes, those are the words. I said, well, that's what the melody was saying to me.
Yeah.
And God, through that melody,
he downloaded it.
Yeah. I just wrote down like dictation. Well,
yep.
About 2 years ago, I was in Israel and at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, and a great big burly man named Shaya Ben Yehuda, who is one of the executives, came up to me and he said, you don't know what those words you wrote mean to us here in Israel. I said, you know, Shaya, I believe I do. Because as a kid, I read all about Exodus in the Bible, in Moses' book, and then Leon Uris' book, Exodus by that name, and I do know a lot. He says, well, we have a campaign underway now in Israel for every Jewish kid to know those words that you wrote.
Wow.
And I cried then.
Oh,
because
wow.
For a kid from Nashville who became a Christian when I was 11.
Yeah.
To write words that now are the second Jewish national anthem.
Wow.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. And for Jews wanting all the kids to know those words, they may not sing the melody. It's not an easy melody. It's beautiful. But it goes all the way until I die. This land is mine.
Yep.
They want the Jewish kids to grow up knowing those words.
Yes.
And I just feel like it's one of the reasons that I was born.
Absolutely. And we're going to play a little bit of that song just to kind of close. But I tell you, that story just thrills me. And now it's hanging where, real quick?
In the wall of the righteous Gentile at Yad Vashem.
Wow.
Along
okay.
with Oscar Schindler, things that he wrote, and Corey Ten Boom, and so many others, Christians who supported the Jews during the Holocaust period and since.
Wow.
And they know that I'm on board. I'm a thorough biblical Zionist.
Amen.
I know God gave the land to the Jews forever. It is theirs. They will never be dispersed from their land. But not only that, they're coming to know their Messiah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's happening a lot, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
You know, and that's what it's, I mean, it's prophesied too in the Bible so much. Keith, you want to play? I have 1 minute, so I want to play that song, whatever we can, in a minute. But Pat, thank you so much. Seriously, you are a treasure. And that song is going to go echoing through the halls of eternity. I'm telling you, you know.
Well, God did it. I just wrote it down.
I know. You took dictation. I totally know what you're saying. Oh, bless you. Bless you, brother in the Lord.
God bless you, man.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me.
Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Pursuits.
And when the